High atop Madison Square Garden. These great facilities provided to us for this broadcast by NJDiet.com. As we pump out the 50,000 powerful watts of sound, if you had joined us same time, same place yesterday, right here on the Curtis Lee Show, remember 12 to 3, Monday through Fridays. So nice, then the suits let me do it twice later on in the day, drive time on the way home for all of you as you reconnect with the issues of the day as I give you my commentary from 5 to 6. I had announced that we would do a final tally, final tabulation of our many listeners who have contributed their votes on both Facebook, on the WABC page, the Curtis Sliwa Show, and at Curtis Sliwa WABC on the Twitter account. And there are thousands of you who have voted. I know for some of you, you probably voted twice. We couldn't vet out the illegal aliens or others who maybe their vote should not have counted, but we tried our best, and the last tally came in at 11:30 this morning. I first want to thank all of you because in the days that led up to this tally and count, which will determine whether I keep the beard that I've been growing since I had an eight-hour operation at Columbia Presbyterian on the night of December 13th to remove my chronic Crohn's disease. I have not shaved since. Some of you have voted that I should keep it. Some of you have voted that I need to shave it. And in fact, my three sons, both Anthony at 14, Carter at 9, and Hunter at 6, wanted me to shave it. But I'm not stacking the vote. I'm not weighing the vote. There's just three votes compared to all of yours. And it's been neck and neck. And to those out there who saw the post in which you said I had a much better beard than you, Jackman, as Wolverine, I thank you. Although this was a no-brainer when we posted David Letterman's beard versus mine, you said, oh, you've got a much better beard. And then the post late yesterday of Jim Carrey, not only a post of him with a beard versus my beard, but actually a takeoff that he did on Living Color years ago in the early 1990s when he was imitating the Guardian Angels as Woodchuck. Oh, it's great. You got to look at the video if you go to the WABC Facebook page, the Curtis Sliwa Facebook page. But the final tabulation is, by 18 votes after thousands of votes were cast, our listeners have voted that I should have this beard shaved. Oh! And I want to let you know, thank you, listeners, because, as you know, for the last 2 weeks, as the beard has grown, I have developed jock itch on my beard. I used a jock strap with Desinex in. I thought that might work. Nope. Then I followed it with Gold Bond, the anti-itch cream spray, all the Gold Bond products. That did not work. I used some other remedies that many of you had recommended on Facebook and on Twitter. That did not work. I've just been scratching as if I had the hives on my face. And I got to tell you, after the shave, I am going to shave each and every day with the best razor in the business. And we have two different versions of them today. We have the green version, the Harry's razor, and we have the orange version, the Harry's razor. As you have heard advertised with Bernard McGurk and Sid Rosenberg and in other parts of the WABC lineup. And it is. It's an absolutely great razor, the best in the business. And in fact, we will use two different forms of shaving cream in order to remove this beard. But we have two drop-dead gorgeous ladies in the studio who are going to perform this task. One is my girlfriend, Nancy Regula, originally from Greenpoint, Brooklyn, and from Bohemia out in Long Island. She heads the Guardian Angels Animal Protection Division. And my co-hostess of the day, who was with me yesterday, Juliet Huddy, star of Stage Screen. And she's a legend in her own mind. So, ladies, are you prepared to remove this beard with the Harry's Razors. In fact, Juliet, you'll get the green version right here if you could take it out of its carry case and box. And Nancy, you'll get the orange version if you can do that. And then you'll have to soap up my beard with the various shaving ingredients here. We've got Noxzema and we've got Barbasol. So we got two different types. In fact, I'll give you the green canister. And Nancy, you'll have the red canister. So be prepared to put it on my beard. Oh, glory, Haliaski, hallelujah. It'll be the last day that I have to scratch my way to trying to relieve myself from what has definitely been like a form of jock itch on my face. I know for a lot of you guys out there, you don't like the beard, even though it's very prevalent nowadays amongst the many hipsters and millennials. You want the clean-shaven look. And I have always had the clean-shaven look, although now I'm even going to be more fastidious about that. Because once these two gals remove the beard, I don't want to ever feel any hair on my chinny-chin-chin again, because it'll give me flashbacks. It'll give me nightmares.
Can I just ask your gorgeous girlfriend
yes.
what she thinks about all this? Because I'm fairly certain that Nancy was a proponent of the beard. And I'd just like to say, Nancy should probably have had the last word. That's just my last word.
I mean, I definitely like the beard, but I was willing to abide by the final count as well.
Oh, you're a team player.
Are we ready?
Team player.
Ready? Let's start removing this beard. Shaving the beard with the Harry's Razors. Okay, apply the shaving cream, please.
How easy it is to take out of the box?
Yes.
It's very, just slide it out. Sometimes these boxes can be very unwieldy. Not this box. No, not Harry's Shavers. Razors.
Okay, excellent.
I just like to point that out.
All right. Are you ready, Nancy? Okay, let's put the shaving cream on. Let's lather me up real good because it's quite a long beard. Remember, it's been growing since the night of the operation, December 13th at Columbia Presbyterian. Other than just washing it, shampooing it, conditioning it.
Take your headphones off.
Nothing else has been used. I take my cams off the head. But you see, I love listening to myself because I'm like most talk radio show hosts. I need a crane to get my humongous ego in and out of the studio. And if I can listen to myself over and over again, obviously, it's like nirvana. It's sort of like a mood elevator. Oh, this feels so good. Oh, can you imagine?
Oops, sorry.
I get two drop-dead gorgeous women applying shaving cream to my ufacha, my bruta facha.
Seems so wrong, though.
Feels so good. Oh.
Nancy, I'd like you to be the first to begin the shaving process, please.
Yes, please. Absolutely. Are you ready, Nancy? So you take out your Harry's razor, the orange model. This is so good. Mm. You think every day I can have you, Nancy, shave me at when we're at the house there? In order to ensure I don't have a hair left on my chinny chin chin. Okay, so Nancy is beginning the process of shaving my beard on my right side. And in fact, Juliet will be doing it on my left side. Okay, oh, it feels so smooth. Don't even feel like a razor. You know, I go back in time, my very first razor, when I first realized I was growing a beard as a teenager, was the old Gillette disposable razor. Oh, that was horrible. Then I tried my father and my grandfather's old straight-edge razors. I almost slit my throat. I would recommend that you do not use a straight-edge razor because you really have to be proficient. But the Harry's razor, I don't even feel it. It's so smooth.
Should you be talking while we do this?
Of course. Why, you can do that with a Harry's razor. You wouldn't dare do it with any of the competitors, because right now I'd be bleeding like a sieve, and you'd have to probably take me to the ER in order to staunch the flow of blood. Oh, this is so good. And remember, Juliet, this is talk radio.
I know. Well,
I have to be talking.
What a maybe Justin can come over.
No. What a stunad you are.
Well, I don't
Here it
to...
is. We're doing talk radio, and you want me to keep my mouth shut. That makes a lot of sense. This is actually better. To be able to talk, to do a talk radio program on the number one news talk station in the nation, WABC, and yet to get a shave and not even feel any pull. There are some of these hairs that are a bit ingrown now because they've been growing so much. And, you know, With other razors, they would never get to the ingrown hairs. And it is just so smooth. Both young ladies, both Juliette Huddy and Nancy Regula, because we don't have a sink in the studio, they are just rinsing off the razor on occasion in a bucket of warm water. And that's it. We're good to go.
Oh. Does Harry's know you're doing this today? Have they been made aware of this?
They will, because we are posting this live FaceTime. And then, obviously, we'll post it on the various websites, the WABC website, and we'll make it available to you on Twitter, to all of you out there, so that whether you were friend or foe, and you were foes if you suggested that I keep the beard, and quite frankly, I was starting to look like either a terrorist with ISIS, or I was beginning to look like I was ready to daven in front of a Talmud and Torah as a rabbinical student, and I'm neither. Let's face it, I'm neither. I'm neither the devil ISIS or the angel rabbinical student. And wow, this is so good. I don't even feel the beard pulling on the razor.
It's definitely, you can see it's a very nice shave. It's just with you talking so much, and I know that you're talking because it's a radio show. I do understand that, but it does make it a little scary.
He talks all the time.
How far are you in?
I bet he does.
How far are you in, Juliette? How much have you got?
It's a very spotty situation over here. Also, I'm not sure if I'm... Do you have to go down, or can you, like, go sideways, or how does this work?
Oh, with Harry's razor, you can go any which way. Okay. You can put crop circles on my face, and it'll be a smooth shave. Okay. So I would suggest you can go parallel. You can go up and down. Naturally under the nose, because you want to try to get the hairs that might be actually encroaching into your nasal cavities. Every time I've used the Harry's razor before, just smooth, no pull, and no problems, no pain, no strain. And most importantly, afterwards, you're able to use the Harry's post-shave balm, and that's like sweet water. Not that it makes you smell like you just use high karate or Old Spice. Oh, no. But it refreshes your skin so that when you go out, like the inclement weather we have now where it's very cold, you're not going to feel like, I should have kept the beard because it's keeping me nice and warm and toasty. No. Your skin resonates. And more importantly, you feel good. And let me tell you, if both of you gals need a second career, you can definitely work the old barber shop, in which, you know, first you take out the comb from the Barbasol solution.
I need a first career.
And then you smear the shaving cream on my face, and you actually have me sit back and have other customers sit back, and you use a Harry's razor. And you know the most interesting thing? If you went to a hairstylist, or you went to a barber, and you said, hey, give me a haircut and a shave, which a lot of guys do. And you just laid back and closed your eyes as they put a hot towel over your eyes. You would not know the difference between the professional straight-edge razor that a barber or hairstylist would use on you. If you put the Harry's razor in their hand instead, it would be that same professional style of a shave that you'd be administering to yourself. Or if you were fortunate enough to have two drop-dead gorgeous women like I'm having right now, shave your beard off personally. And, you know, gals, don't ever think that you can't use this shaver, the Harry's razor, to remove hair on your legs. Because you know how women are always having a problem with that because of the nicks and the stubble and the problems. And women are always looking for the smooth shave if they're in the shower stall or if they're just doing it as part of their preparation for the day when they're going out to work or they're going out shopping or they're wearing a nice dress and it's obvious they would like to give a nice smooth shave. So it's not just the men. It's also women out there who are constantly looking for a remedy to the nicks and all the problems that occur when you get other razors, other brands that are a dollar short and a day late.
If they want to see this, where do they go?
Where do they go?
Yes.
Facebook We're going to post it. It's Facebook Live right now. Mm-hmm. But obviously for those who are scurrying and trying to see the video, but they're going to not be able to get it in time, Justin B. Love, our producer, our phone screener, will post it on the Curtis Sliwa WABC Facebook page.
What would you think about having a goatee left?
No, no goatee. No hair on my face. As I said, every morning when I get up. And remember, I do Channel 5 Good Day Early Call New York three mornings a week, 4:45 to 5. And naturally, it's going to be a clean shaven look. I will use my Harry's razor before I make those appearances. And for Channel 1, when I'm on Wednesdays debating the issues of the week with Herschel Barrero, I'm going to make sure I give it a good Harry shave before going on. Because, again, I don't want to be reminded of the time that I had to have this hair on my face that really it flipped the script on me. Absolutely. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. I know that a lot of you, thousands of you, are going to be disappointed that your votes did not cause me to keep the beard, which I know for a lot of you Weisenheimers, you specifically were saying that and voting for that because you knew it would cause me grief and agita. And to all of you who rallied, especially in the last few days, and put me over the top with your votes to take the shave, thanks for following in the footsteps of my three sons. So more like my three sons. Remember that show we grew up with when we were all kids? My three sons who paved the way by voting that I should remove that beard. Thank you. Thank you. Oh, Juliet, continue to shave me. And Nancy, continue to shave me because I'm in paradise right now here on WABC. See.
My girlfriend and Juliet Huddy, my co-host today, shaving off the beard, as was the will of the voters in this contest to determine whether I keep the beard since I had that major operation to remove Crohn's disease at Columbia Presbyterian back on December 13th. And overwhelmingly, it appeared that at first, I would have to keep the beard because I know my adversaries, my enemies, those who despised me, loathed me, hated me, the Weisenheimers, wanted me to be forced to keep a beard that was giving me jock itch. And then all of a sudden, once my three sons weighed in, Anthony, Carter, Hunter, and said, "No, Daddy, we want you to shave that beard," a tsunami of support came flowing forward. And by a little more than a dozen votes, that's right, the listeners, as I promised you, I would follow what the vote was. We couldn't vet out the illegal aliens, and people may be voting twice. But the beard is coming off. Harry's to the rescue, the best razor available for all of you. And again, just a smooth shave here. We're getting into the nitty-gritty of the final removal of hairs. Where a mustache would normally be underneath my schnoz. And then I put on the balm, the Harry's balm that'll just sort of freshen up the skin since it's been covered up by I would have called it a coat. But I understand, Juliet, you have a question for my girlfriend, Nancy Regula.
Well, I have two questions. First of all, Nancy, how did you get it to be so clean-shaven over here? Are you going sideways? What are we doing here?
I went up and down over here.
You just went up and down?
I waited until commercial break when he wasn't talking to me.
No, I was trying to do that too, but I didn't make any headway. All right, more importantly, though, what can you tell us things that... I mean, Curtis is always very, very open with his public life and even his personal life. What can you tell us? Is there something that we have not heard about him that you, when you've been... Probably the rare times that you fight, but I'm sure like every couple, you get into a tiff here and there, like that you've said, ah... That's it. The public will know. The public will know. They will know. What is that? What is that one thing? It's okay because you've got a razor to his neck, so he can't do anything. Hold back.
He's actually pretty easy to get along with, to be honest with you. He's, besides the fact, he talks obviously all day. As his profession, but then, you know, he has, like, just such a wealth of knowledge, but the thing that really surprised me was that he's really a good listener. But yeah, I would say he has really a great relationship with the cats, which I know he talks about a lot, but I don't know if he says quite as much as he gets along with them. He kind of he'll talk what their thoughts are in cat voices.
So. Oh, okay. So he does. He's one. Okay.
Yeah.
Well, that's a very you know relationshipy thing to do. You start to. My husband and I do that. We talk like this. And I started doing that, and then he started doing that. So I get that. Can you give us an example of the cat voice?
Well,
Curtis, would you like to give us an example?
Oh yeah. The most recent arrival to our apartment. Since Nancy has rescued so many cats in her lifetime, who are feral cats, she gets them spayed and neutered and then puts them out in colonies where they can prevent the rodent and rat population from growing and creating a problem, is she rescued a little kitten, had to be maybe 2 weeks old, that I named Ajax.
Why?
Because I had a series of Greek names. The first cat that Nancy had rescued was a Persian cat that could trace its lineage to the Ming Dynasty named Hercules. We call him the patriarch. He's the leader of the colony. And she had rescued him. He was horribly beaten up. Obviously, a bunch of cats had ganged up on him. Mm-hmm. And she nursed him back to health. And then there was, following that, Apollo, who was a tuxedo cat, mostly black with spots of white. And she rescued him from the kill shelter that the city of New York runs on Linden Boulevard in East New York. Had she not rescued him, he would have been dead within 72 hours, like a lot of other cats and dogs. And then Athena, who she rescued in a backyard in Sunset Park after the mother had basically taken her away from the litter through the Darwinian way that cats raise their kittens when they know they can't care for all of them. They'll actually put those that they feel are weakest or incapable of surviving off to the side. Athena was about going, gone. Mm. Nancy rescued her, and now she's healthy, she's big, she's vibrant. And that last rescue of the kitten, Ajax. Ajax would constantly rub up against my beard and purr. So when I return to the lair, to our apartment tonight, Ajax is going to be pissed because he liked my beard even more so than Nancy did.
And what are you going to say to Ajax in your cat voice?
Oh, I'm just going to give him more cat food. I'm going to placate him.
but the cat voice, though.
That's the cat voice?
That's what we care about.
I'm going to say, tough noogies. Tough noogies.
Is that the cat voice?
Meow.
Oh, wait a second. Hold on. You just got busted. Okay. Is that what he does?
Yes. Right now, putting on the last touches.
Well, sort of, yeah.
Yes. Excellent
Nancy's
job.
Nancy's side is much, much better than mine.
Right. Yeah. Excellent job. I want to commend both you, Nancy Regula, and you, Juliet Huddy, for giving me a smooth shave with the Harry's razor. Juliet has the green-colored one. Nancy has the orange-colored one. And it's been a smooth process. And as we go for the news headlines with Deb Valentine, I'm going to be in a position to put on Harry's Balm, which is going to be like a spritz. It's going to refresh my skin that hasn't seen the light of day because of this beard since December 13 when I survived that 8-hour operation for the removal of my chronic Crohn's disease. Take it away, Deb. In the house.
Oh, I don't think I've ever been more nervous to do anything.
Well, you had the Harry's razor.
Honestly.
No strain, no pain.
I am such a believer in Harry's, telling you.
What is it? This is my other mood elevator. Electronic dance music. And the performer is Marshmello Alone, who appeared on our Stage 17 last night. Courtesy of WPLJ.
Oh.
And he rocked the house as he was wearing like this space helmet. And he was working the tweeters and woofers. And I'm telling you, I was like a whirling dervish with my beard on at the time, I might add. But the reason we're playing this EDM song is because Marshmello will be queued up
downstairs with a whole bunch of freakazoids, trendoids, and jet setters for the annual Grammys presentation, which is taking place at Madison Square Garden on Sunday night.
Very, very exciting. not really.
And this is what I'd like to do, Juliet Huddy.
Mm-hmm.
I feel it's incumbent upon me as the world's number one vigilante, right?
Yes.
After the documentary that
very
has just
true.
Been produced about me and the Guardian Angels, that I set up a pervert prevention zone around the entranceways to Madison Square Garden, because we really should be scanning for all kinds of perversions in terms of who can get in and who has to be left outside.
Well, yeah. In the wake of the hashtag MeToo movement, I mean, this is a very critical time. And I think it's important that we have people like you who are defending the people who are being harassed by
As an example, if you remember, when the Grammys was held at Radio City Music Hall not too long ago, Elton John, who announced yesterday he's no longer going on tour, he welcomed up to the stage Eminem, Slim Shady, even though he was homophobic, sexist, misogynist, had actually suggested that he had raped his mother and strangled his girlfriend slash wife.
But you know, this is art. It's performance.
Really? Well, let's pay attention to what Eminem has put on the record.
You want me to fix up lyrics while the president gets his up? That take drugs, rape, sluts, make fun of gay clubs, mean to wear makeup, get away, wake up.
That was a long time ago, wasn't it, though? Hasn't he changed?
Really?
Hasn't he morphed?
Let's get a little slice of the degenerate hip-hop monster Eminem.
Thinking I'm playing, thinking I'm saying it, because I'm thinking it just to be saying it. Put your hands down, bitch, I ain't gonna shoot you. I'm gonna pull you to this bullet and put it through you. Shut up, slut, you're causing too much chaos. Just bend over and take it like a slut, okay, ma? Oh, now he's raping his own mother, abusing a horse, snorting coke, and we gave him the Rolling Stone cover.
Raping his own mother. And then, this is the more recent one.
Not meant to be taken literally.
In which the president, to his credit, did not start a Twitter war with Eminem, because that's what Eminem was trying to lure him into. But he talked about putting Ivanka Trump in the trunk of his car as she was room temperature.
Woke up, it was dawn. Must have knew something was wrong. Think I'm becoming a monster because of the drug that I'm on. Donald Duck's on his Ivanka truck in the yard. But dog, how the f*** is Ivanka Trump in the trunk of my car? Gotta get to the bottom of it to try to solve it. Must go above and beyond, cause it's incumbent upon.
All right, enough of this crap. This rap crap. How about,
come on,
can we ban him from the Grammys?
No.
Or what about Russell Simmons? You know,
wait, so we're
going to
ban people for their lyrics, or are we banning people for their actual actions?
Well,
I think we need to...
Russell Simmons is going to get a shout-out, the rapist, because a lot of the hip-hop monsters are going to trace their first listening to rap to his Def Jam label that he shared with Rick Rubin at the time. Remember the guy who had the ZZ Top beard? Then there's Nelly, who's been accused of rape. Then there's R. Kelly, right, who is a pedophile on a pedestal.
Well, he's kind of like the poster guy.
Then there's Robin Thicke, who was twerking Miley Cyrus while he had a gumata on the side that he was snacking on.
I believe he has a very young girlfriend now. I mean, like, inappropriately young. Maybe not jailbait situation, but potentially.
Ladies and
pretty
gentlemen,
young.
I want to take the responsibility of setting up the pervert prevention zone surrounding Madison Square Garden, where I will be scanning for all kinds of perversions of those coming to the Grammys on Sunday night, and also the one that they all worship, with 8 Grammy nominations, even though he should be in the rap hip-hop monster retirement home because of his age, Jay-Z.
All right, now, don't be an ageist.
He's conducted a number of interviews of late. New York Times Magazine gave him a big spread.
Right.
Some other publications.
From his yacht? Or?
How come none of these journalists have asked him about his very dear friend and business partner, Harvey Weinstein?
I don't know that. I haven't read up. I don't know if he hasn't.
I've read it all.
He hasn't said a word.
No, but he's asked him.
All right, well then...
Don't you think in this age of Me Too, and your time is up, that a guy that he was in a business relationship with...
Yes.
And he has not volunteered any tweet or any statement to suggest, Harvey, you were wrong, a pox on you. So because he hasn't volunteered anything, you would think some journalists not wanting to ask the same old questions of Jay-Z, in which basically they throw softballs at him, would say, hey, Jay-Z, you know, you haven't commented on your partner, your business partner, Harvey Weinstein. You think he was wrong?
Well,
you think he's guilty? What do you think should happen?
Could it be that he maybe is following this sort of don't throw stones, you know, the glass houses type of situation? He was, remember, arrested for gun possession. He also was arrested for stabbing a guy back in 1999, I think it was.
Shot his own brother. And not only bragged about it, did a rap song about it. They went platinum. And that's what started him off in his rap career from the Marcy Housing Projects in Williamsburg. But the question here is, there have been about six journalists of late who have had an opportunity to do sit-downs with Jay-Z. You would think one would say, hey, what do you think of Harvey? You would think that some women, particularly in the rap, country, western, rock and roll, songstress category, might call him out and say, hey, Jay-Z, you know, you really need to take a position on your friend and business partner, Harvey Weinstein.
Hang on. I mean, will he be attending the Grammys on Sunday night? Or will you be allowing him to pass through your...
He's got to attend the Grammys because he's up for eight awards. But no, I will block him.
But you'll be scanning.
No. I won't even scan him. I'll just say...
Go right for the gusto.
Jay-Z, you're out. Because of the words you use in describing women, bitch, hoe, other words that I'm not even going to repeat here. And then when he was questioned on that with the birth of his daughter in Lenox Hill Hospital that Beyonce delivered, now that you're a father of a daughter, you're going to continue to use the B word, the whole word?
Mm-hmm.
He said, yeah, because that's what I do. Anyway,
well, I mean, he's looking at himself as an artist and a performer, which is what a lot of these people do. They separate themselves, you know, from who they are on stage or who they are.
So you're going to give him a pass for calling women a bitch and a hoe?
I feel like I have evolved over the however many years, 30 years that, you know, that we've been hearing this kind of
Come
stuff.
On. Be honest. He's black. You don't want to be called a racist. Come on.
That's not true. I mean, I just said it about Eminem. It has nothing to do with race.
Yeah, but he advocated raping his own mother and strangling the mother of his own kid.
I'm not supporting incest. I mean, I'm merely saying that this has become a culture and a society that feels that, you know, rap music and rap lyrics, and rock and metal lyrics to some degree,
need to be called out. Our number is 1-800-848-WABC.
Not necessarily to be taken
literally. That's 1-800-848-9222.
There I was completely wasting, out of work and down. All inside, it's so frustrating.
You recognize this song?
I do.
Juliet Huddy?
I certainly do. I went to this concert.
Judas Priest?
Yes, about 2 years ago over in Newark.
Breaking the law, right? So you went to the Prudential Center.
Yes,
okay,
yes.
The Rock.
Were you there?
No.
You would go to a Judas Priest concert, wouldn't you?
No. But I like some of the music of their Headbangers Ball there, Painkiller, Living After Midnight.
He's
got
great.
Another thing coming.
Rob Halford is great live.
But the reason we mention this is, will they eulogize the passing of ex-Judas Priest drummer Dave Holland, who died in Spain?
I don't know that a lot of people will be eulogizing him.
Why?
You might want to tiptoe around that one.
He lived in exile like Roman Polanski does, the child rapist in France, after trying to rape a teenage boy?
That would be correct, sir.
Oh.
Yes.
So then, if there is anybody that says, hey, let's eulogize him, he just passed away, I should immediately stand outside of Madison Square Garden on Sunday night and enforce the pervert prevention zone, in which I'm going to be scanning for all kinds of perversions from these trendoids, jet setters, and freakazoids.
Yeah, we need a what type of thing to go off if they walk by.
Well, anyway,
sensory type of thing.
Anyway, up next, we've got to discuss how the Trump administration has flipped the script on the DACA kids.
How do you feel?
But also combine them with the Dreamers, and they want to give them amnesty. I thought that's something Trump said he would never do.
Curtis Sliwa. Boom! home. The search for common ground begins today.
Founder of the Guardian Angels.
I got distracted. I thought Curtis Sliwa
the
Guardian Angels was over there.
Curtis Sliwa?
There's a guy in a red hat.
Host of The Drive at 5, Curtis Sliwa.
We the people.
He's the New York State Reform Party chairman.
New York radio talk show host.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa.
Curtis Sliwa is here.
He's really a New York City hero.
Yeah.
He's an American hero.
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Sliwa, 77 WABC.
Jesus loves the little children, all the children of the world. Red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. Jesus loves the little children of the world.
6 minutes after the hour of one. As we are high atop Madison Square Garden, where I am now clean shaven with the aid of Juliette Huddy, co-hostess today here on our 12 to 3 show, along with my girlfriend Nancy Regula, who double teamed my face with Harry's razors, the best in the marketplace. And I'm clean shaven. I'm like a baby's backside.
And absolutely like a very bushy beard. We shaved it with, and within about, it's like 25 minutes.
Yep.
No nick, not a single nick. And we were kind of, you know, rushing, and you were talking. Your mouth was going the entire time.
Well, this is talk radio.
I understand
that. Imagine if it was dead airspace.
I understand that, Curtis, but you know what I'm saying. It truly, Harry's razors, I that's it. I'm going out and stealing one from your office. So,
let me tell you something. You know. It is amazing because I thought there was dead space yesterday when I was listening to the Mark Levin show. High atop here, Madison Square Garden, these great facilities. I was doing some work and listening to Mark as I do 6 to 9 because he comes on after me in the drive home at 5.
Right.
And they had just made the announcement. In fact, it was Deb Valentine, our newscaster, who said that the president, while in Davos, Switzerland, for the economic summit, had authorized Stephen Miller. Remember, Stephen Miller was the protege of Bannon. Bannon, who along with Trump said, build the wall, make Mexico pay for it, and end the migration chain of relatives coming in following the DACA children and the Dreamers, and most importantly, end the visa lottery that gave people in other countries an opportunity to come to the country. That was, I mean, Bannon couldn't have been any harder on it. Stephen Miller was his disciple until all of a sudden Bannon was quoted in that recent book, Fire and Fury, and he got thrown under the bus, and Stephen Miller was summoned out to be his executioner. But of all people, Stephen Miller came on a conference call with reporters and said that not only are we negotiating about the 800,000 DACA migrants who were just children when they crossed the border, but we're going to add 1 million of the Dreamers who are different than DACA, because I don't think most people understand the difference in that the DACA kids, they had to fill out the paperwork. They were vetted. They ended up getting placed in houses of either family or friends once they had crossed the border without any of their parents or relatives. Okay, so we pretty much know who they are. But the 1 million Dreamers, they didn't come forward and apply as the DACA kids did. Even Obama didn't go beyond DACA and talk about the Dreamers. And the Dreamers didn't provide any evidence that they didn't come here as kids.
Right.
And then all of a sudden, Stephen Miller is saying, yeah, we're coupling both. The DACA 800,000 with the 1 million Dreamers. Some say it's even more. Oh, yeah. And in return for that, we get an end of the visa lottery. We get an end of the chain migration. And the Democrats have agreed they're going to put $25 billion into a trust fund for the wall to be built. So it's a fair, square compromise.
Well, it's interesting that this is proposed a few days after the shutdown is over. It's all very strange how everything
Well, look at the flip-flop nature. First, there was Donald Trump when he first sat with a bipartisan group of senators and congressmen and congresswomen who was talking about how this should be a bill of love. He loves the children. He loves the children.
This should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
Truly.
Bill of love.
Okay. Truly. A bill.
So that's
bill
why, of love. See, that's why I call him a manic depressive. One minute he's manic. That was the manic part. Then he sits with the schmuck, no make that the putz, Chuck E. Cheese Schumer, minority leader of the Democrats in the Senate over the weekend, one-on-one.
Right.
Schumer says talking to Trump is like talking to Jell-O. You knew Trump was going to take umbrage to that.
Yes, of course.
And he said, let me tell you something, Schumer. And this was after his chief of staff, Kelly, called him 2 hours after the meeting. Forget whatever pretense of a deal that we discussed in the West Wing of the White House. There's going to be a war. There's going to be an end of visa lottery. There's going to be an end of chain migration.
Yeah, no parents, no extended family. Right. It's just, you know, spouses and minor children. Minor children.
And this is after Chuck Schumer said, I will fund the wall. So Trump had pimp slapped him. And then all of a sudden yesterday, Stephen Miller, he's like giving me political vertigo. I'm going back and forth.
He's very Rasputin-like, I have to say. Even looks a little bit Rasputin-y if he had a beard.
I would agree. But, oh, the angst, the anger that poured from the microphones as callers to the Mark Levin show teed off on the president's administration flip-flop on this subject.
Is an ardent supporter of the president. I have to say, if he capitulates and gives in to this ridiculous new proposal on amnesty, I can assure you he will lose the vote of myself, my family, and millions of Americans like me. This is beyond ridiculous. And
this was the number one issue for you, I'm guessing.
The unquestionably, it will make his jobs proposals, the tax, anything else he does will fall to the wayside, and he will be, in the eyes of voters like myself, a failure if he capitulates on this situation. Simple. Mm.
And Juliet, I got to tell you, from 6 to 9, it was a tsunami of angry callers feeling that Trump had betrayed them on this issue. And even,
well, it's funny.
Even Mark Levin weighed in on this.
This whole thing might collapse, and you and I will be told this is absolute genius because Trump really didn't want to deal in the first place. I don't believe that, do you?
No, nobody else did.
The thing is that a lot of these people who are calling in, the people that you're showing here or playing here, they feel amnesty absolutely is it's not fair. It's not fair to the people who are trying to come into this country legally. To them, amnesty is it's illegals getting a pass. And that's how they look at it.
Well, I'm very interested in talking not just to the wide variety of listeners that we have, but also specifically to the Trumpers and Trumpets, because from day one, when Donald Trump Citizen announced his candidacy for the Republican nomination downstairs at Trump Tower, he said he's going to build a wall, going to make Mexico pay for it, keep out the rapists, the criminals, the bad hombres. He went on and on. He went out on the campaign trail, and he was like just railing against anyone who had come in here without taking the proper procedures.
Right.
Ladies and gentlemen, what will you think of this president now if he reneges on everything he campaigned on, and more importantly, everything he said about immigration since he was sworn in over a year ago? 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
I threw out a little thing on Facebook because there's always these battles, as you probably know, on Facebook with your friends, you know, who support Trump or who hate Trump. So I threw it out there. I said, I'm interested to hear what Trump supporters have to say about this latest move. One of my friends in Florida who is just hardcore Trump supporter says, and I have a feeling we're going to hear a lot of this. He says, the truth is it really doesn't matter what the president proposes because the Democratic Party will be against it because they aren't actually wanting to fix the immigration situation. Instead, they use it as a never-ending issue to project negativity toward anyone, Republicans, who disagree with them. Huh. And it was very similar. Interestingly, the comments were very similar. There still seems to be a group there, a component there to the Trump support that are still holding on for dear life.
Well, let me suggest to all of you that this president, who has been known to say something very draconian one minute, and then the next minute claim to be the friend of the poor, the impoverished, the destitute, the illegals. His message is all screwy here. He's giving me political vertigo. Is this a compromise? How is this a compromise? First off, if you wanted to be fair, you would say, okay, let's deal with the DACA people. They came over as children.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't ask to come over. They were sent over by their parents, oftentimes by themselves. They don't know of any other country other than the United States. There were 800,000 of them. Okay, so I say, compromise on them first. How the hell did the Dreamers get involved with this, the 1 million, who didn't come forward, didn't apply as the DACA kids did? Even Obama didn't go beyond DACA. And they didn't provide any documentary evidence, meaning the Dreamers, that they didn't come here as kids. And
can I just jump in here real quick? And when we say kids, it's like we still refer to these people as kids. And some of these people are in their, you know, 20s and 30s.
Right.
And which makes me very happy, you know, to know that 30-year-olds are considered kids these days.
I know, but I'm blown away about it because, again, most people lump the Dreamers in with DACA. And they are really two separate categories of people who came across the border. But let's go to Dan, who's calling from the sixth borough of the city of New York, the Poconos in Pennsylvania. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Dan?
Hey, Curtis. Yeah, about the immigrants, they really need to come through the regular system. I'm so impressed when I see a little newsreel or something about people getting 200 getting sworn in that were citizens and learn how to do it. And that's really impressive. But just to walk in, that's a bunch of baloney. That's a bunch of baloney.
Well, did you vote for Donald Trump, Dan, in the last election?
Yeah.
Now, if he actually sticks to this position, because we know he's very changeable from time to time, but if he sticks with this compromise, what would you think about what he said all through the campaign and in the first year of his presidency about this subject?
I think he thought it out well, and he jumped the gun, and he thought it out well and has a better fix. That's the way I would put it.
Even Breitbart is calling him now Amnesty Don.
I would have thought this is the guy, the art of the deal, right?
Maybe he knows something we don't know. Maybe this is a part of the strategy.
I understand. How is this a deal if you capitulate to the Democrats and you get nothing in return? And even though, remember, and let me be specific here, he claims there's going to be $25 billion put in a trust fund for the wall, right, that Schumer's going to do this. And I'm saying, wait a second, if you lose the midterm elections, it's likely.
Right.
Both the House and Senate.
Very likely.
Then the Democrats control appropriations. They can vote that $25 billion trust fund right out the window. And if in 4 years, make that 3 years, a Democrat gets elected president through executive order, and the president is well familiar with this, Donald Trump, you can undo whatever the previous president did, as he has undone a lot of what Barack Obama did.
So you're saying potentially that this is a little calculated move by the president to ultimately end up looking like a hero no matter what?
I'm just saying this is a president, again, who flips and flops, has no real ideology, never had. He was originally a liberal progressive. Now he claims to be a Republican and conservative.
Well, people do change over years.
And what they're saying is oh, you know, he says the right things. He takes the Bannon approach towards immigration. And then there are members of his White House staff who usurp him. How could they usurp the president without his permission? Anyway, let's go to Benny in Brooklyn. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Benny.
Hey, Benny.
Hey, how you guys doing over there?
Great. How are you?
I'm good.
Good.
Great that you shed that beard. It looks bad.
Oh.
Thank you.
It's
gone.
What's wrong with you, Benny?
It is gone forever.
It looks so good.
Forever, Benny.
But anyway, listen. These people have been pouring in here for, what, 10 or 12 years? I think that Trump is just looking at the future, that in the future that this is going to come to an end. He's got the wall up. He's getting rid of the chain migration. He's just trying to make a deal because these people try to stop him at every turn.
If
he doesn't make some type of deal, he's not going to get anything done.
But, Benny, I must tell you, the Department of Homeland Security has published the latest data, the latest analytics about people pouring across the border, whereas originally it had been stifled enormously when Trump was making all the threats about the wall and cracking down. It's actually bumped up.
Really?
bumped up beyond what it was for Barack Obama. I'm going to give you the stats.
Yes.
This is the Department of Homeland Security. Remember, Trump appoints the cabinet member, the Norwegian woman there who didn't know that there were more whites in Norway than others. But they have their accumulated data. So it's in the Trump administration. And I got to tell you, if these stats are true, it is shocking. 1-800-848-WABC. Let's quickly go to John, who I believe is calling from Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Johnny?
Hey, Curtis, Juliet. Listen, I think he has a plan. We don't know until Monday what happens, because that's when they're going to dole it out. So it could be a jump in the gun. But the bottom line is, you know what? They don't get the vote, because that's one of the stipulations. Let them stay here for 12 years without voting. See how far the taxes go up. Number two, NJ.com needs the contact list. Did you see when they tried to shut down the Senate? How many of those girls and guys were like over 500 pounds that are like only 20 years old? You got big customers lining up.
No, there's no doubt. But again, John, pay attention to the analytics I'm going to give you at the half hour. It is said that the invasions, as some people have described it, or the crossings at the border have actually increased in the last few months, whereas originally, right after the president was sworn in, Donald Trump, they noticeably decreased. And I'll explain to you the reasons. And again, this isn't what Trump would call fake news. These are analytics stats from his own Department of Homeland Security. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Electronic dance music, my mood elevator. Now it's like a double serving with the shaving of my beard at the start of the program.
Oh, here he goes, twirling around like a whirling dervish.
Well, I'm happy.
Sit down.
I don't look like Che Guevara or Fidel Castro.
I find them both to be quite handsome. Oh, as well.
Anyway, let's go to the phones. It's Pamela who's calling from Sussex. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet here at WABC. Pam?
Pam.
Good morning, Curtis.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, you were talking about the immigration reform, and I think that Donald Trump is doing it right. We've got a lot invested in these people, and we want to keep them here, friendly to America. I don't think they're so stupid that they'll vote for Democrats if we make sure that they're safe and integrated into the system. We need them educated. We need them speaking English. We need them not committing crimes. One strike, you're out.
All right, so you're basically saying, Pamela, that you agree with this amnesty bill because this is going to make them whole.
Yes, we made promises in America. We're a God-fearing country, and I think that, it's not a good thing for us or for them to diss them, actually.
I know. Well, you said you voted for Donald Trump?
Absolutely.
But he never, never, never said there would be amnesty.
He didn't, but he has a good heart.
Okay, well, here's what he has to say. This came in just an hour ago over his fingers via Twitter. Donald Trump saying DACA has been made increasingly difficult by the fact that crying Chuck Schumer took such a beating over the shutdown that he is unable to act on immigration. That from our president just about an hour ago.
And naturally, Pamela is of the belief that the president wants a bill of love.
This should be a bipartisan bill. This should be a bill of love. Truly, it should be a bill of love, and we can do that.
For the children, for the children.
I just thought, when he goes onto Twitter and he does these things, the crying Chuck Schumer, it's just so juvenile. I mean, we're talking about, this is a very serious
it's
subject.
It's a lot nicer to Schumer than I am. I call Chuck Schumer the son of an exterminator on Avenue R in Brooklyn, a schmuck.
You're a guardian angel. You're a New York City hero, as the morning guy says.
Up next, Juliet. Up next, I want you to listen to these stats that were just released by Trump's Department of Homeland Security.
All right.
And I didn't know this. I thought, since he was inaugurated, that crossings had gone down. Detentions had gone down because feared the wrath, the wrath of Khan. They feared the wrath of Trump. And up until April, they were like plummeting. Well, guess what's happened since April?
What happened in April?
They're skyrocketing. And this is according to Trump's Department of Homeland Security. what are you going to call that, ladies and gentlemen? Fake news?
He knows the city. Live, local, on it. Curtis Lewa, 77 WABC.
Keep it suit up. If you bottles don't want to dance on board, then keep it true up. I'm gangsta when I'm with my friends.
I have no idea what this is. The much red like tone. Most of the songs nominated for
Hip-Hop Monsters that MS-13 is. This is their English version theme song. I'll bet you on Sunday night at the Grammys below us in Madison Square Garden, they'll get shout-outs, and no doubt they might actually win a reggaeton hip-hop award for that.
A reggaeton.
But I must tell you, these stats that were released yesterday while the president was in Switzerland at the economic summit by his Department of Homeland Security is stunning. Because I was of the belief that once he was sworn in a year ago, that the number of people crossing through the Mexican border illegally had noticeably depreciated because people feared the wrath.
Exactly, their future
of Trump
was going to be, exactly.
And they did up until April. But the report yesterday released by the Department of Homeland Security said that there are troubling elements of renewed illegal immigration that have helped to expand the killer MS-13 gang throughout the country. And as we saw recently with the arrests in Nassau County, Egypt, Cuba, South Korea, and France. That's where they've expanded to.
Okay.
So they're a geopolitical narco-terrorist organization. Now, get these stats. On average, the Department of Homeland Security apprehends over 1,100 people a day crossing the border illegally, with this past December marking the 8th month in a row of an increase in apprehensions at the border. On January 14th of this year, the Department of Homeland Security saw the highest number of apprehensions in a year.
What?
1,400. The Department of Homeland Security refuses entry to 7 known or suspected terrorists every day.
Now that's lovely.
50 every week, 2,500 every year. This will rock your world, Juliet, and our listeners. There has been a 622% increase in families detained at the border since April. Most will be released after no more than 20 days as they are kept in detention.
Why is this happening, Curtis? Why?
Well, let me give you some more of the stats. There has been a 306% increase in unaccompanied alien children. That's what the DACA kids were. Detained at the border since April. Most will be released after no more than 20 days in detention. As of December, there were 307,000 backlogged asylum cases. Applicants can wait up to 4 years for an interview while waiting here in our country. As of October, Executive Office for Immigration Review, there's a backlog of cases, and it stood at approximately 640,000. Without a hearing, there is no resolution for years. You might get removed later on. And then the final two stats is that roughly 628,000 aliens overstayed their visa in 2016 alone, which is how most illegals come in. They fly in, they have a visa,
right,
and they don't go back.
They just never leave.
And then finally, as of May 2016, there were 950,000 aliens with final orders of removals on ICE's national docket, and they've slipped into the shadows. It's close to 1 million people that ICE has data on that have to go back.
These are staggering statistics, but you still have not answered the burning question,
Curtis. Well, I'll tell you why. In the Trump administration. So at first, they caught the bark of the president.
Mm-hmm.
There's going to be the wall. Mexico's going to pay for it. We're going to end chain migration. We're going to end the visa lottery.
Things are going to be real tough for you if you try to come in here illegally.
So those that were coming from south of the border said, no, I don't want to go through that. Trump seems like a tough guy.
Uno momentito.
And he's not just going after the bad hombres. But then they got a sense in April that there's more bark than bite here. In fact, there is no wall. There's been no wall developed. And in fact, there's been no crackdown on the visa lottery or the chain migration. And there's plenty of work now because the economy is booming.
Aha. Uh-huh.
Demand is up because supply is limited. If your economy is percolating, you need more labor. And some of that labor is going to be provided by illegal aliens.
A lot of that labor is going to be provided.
So the benefits of Trump talking about the booming economy here might even be a 4% gross national product increase, which is amazing, has just stirred up the illegals to say, we got no work here in El Salvador, Guatemala, Honduras, or Mexico. So
we're going to take the chance. We're going to take the risk.
Because even if we get caught, we get released in 20 days. And if all of a sudden ICE incarcerates us temporarily, we are allowed to stay in the country as long as we keep reporting to them each month, and we just slip into the shadows. So all this barking and I'm going to bite you and, boy, I'm going to get rough and tough with you. The illegal aliens have figured it out. It's like a fugazi. It's like when Ronald Reagan, you know, all of a sudden said, okay, that's it. You know, everyone who's come forward across the border now, we're gonna make whole. But yeah. God forbid you come across the border one day after, you're gonna be in trouble. And the illegal aliens realize that Ronald Reagan was selling wolf tickets because they all got amnesty.
And, you know, and you have to remember, I mean, it's not the way it is for us in these places. I mean, these people are going through some really, really rough times. Poverty is terrible there. And, I mean, they're willing to put up and do almost anything to get over the border. I used to cover it when I was working for Fox. I covered a story over the Arizona border. It was a river that was filled with toxic waste coming from the United States.
Yes.
But these people would, you know, slip through this little area, through fence area, and they would come in. They would float on inner tubes with their families, children, little babies, and they'd be floating on these inner tubes trying to silently go up this toxic, muck-filled, like, bacteria petri dish river. I mean, these are people who are willing to do anything. And now that they know that what the president's saying right now, that there's hope. I mean, I think you're absolutely right. I think it was back in April.
Or they realize the president is more bark than bite since April. Before April, the numbers were plummeting, those that were coming in illegally.
Right.
At the end of April, after Easter, they got a sense, this guy is a fugazi. You know, he talks tough, but there is no wall. The Mexicans aren't paying for it.
Mm-hmm.
And there's still chain migration, so we just got to get on to the United States side. DACA and the Dreamers are being treated the same. And the visa lottery, hey, it's still in effect. So naturally, if you happen to be an illegal alien, you said, of course I'll come into the United States. What's the worst they can do?
They were waiting to see some action, some tangible movement, and they're not seeing it. So, yeah.
Well, they detain me for 4 or 5 years, so I get to stay 4 or 5 years. I disappear. I get a fake Social Security card. I work. And obviously, I'm going to be living a lot better than in the country of origin that I snuck into the United States from. Let's go to Mike, who's calling from Queens. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Mike.
Hey, Mike. It's Curtis. How you doing? Yes, Mike from Queens. I called up about the DACA.
Yes.
I think in order for Trump to fulfill his campaign promise, he has to have mass deportation in order to get the Democrats at the table. They're not going to relent for anything. They already said they want open borders. This is an illegal invasion in this country, number one. Number two, the country should be separated. Let the liberals have one side. They can have all their doctors and the amnesty to everybody. I'll tell you, Curtis, I'm a white Christian male, and I am very angry. And I've had it enough with this country and all the liberalization going on to it. And I don't want to live with these people anymore. And if Trump doesn't do what he said he was going to do, I'm done with him. I don't know where I'm going to turn to, but I'm done with him. When he said a bill of love like that other idiot, Jeb Bush, I was almost done with him. But let me ask you, Curtis, where do
yes.
I go? What crime can I commit and get amnesty as an American citizen? My family's been here since before the Civil War. What am I supposed to do with this invasion? And Julian, how are you saying about the babies over the border? What about my babies?
Mike, you get what we say is ubats. You get nothing.
Well, Curtis, it's enough. When is enough? when is enough is enough?
Well, Mike, let's face it. The whole focus was the DACA kids. Remember initially the 800,000 who came over, didn't know where they were going because they were so young, and they only know this country.
It's probably some of the kids that I saw flying, floating on these little rafts.
Then they attached the Dreamers, who were not young at the time, who had no paperwork, can't prove who they are, didn't submit themselves to vetting, didn't have the evidence that they didn't come here as kids. And you say to yourself, why are they being lumped in with the DACA kids?
Right.
Why don't we just deal with the DACA kids? But oh no, it's all being lumped together. And then the president, the guy who's the art of the deal, you're going to believe that they're going to put $25 billion into a trust fund for the wall? Meantime, the moment you lose control of both houses, the Democrats will control the appropriations, and they'll say no funding for the war. They can do that legally.
And I guarantee you, if this is the continuation or the consistency over the next few months, the midterms, it's going to look like scorched earth. It's going to look like scorched earth.
Well, that's what much of the land that separates the United States and Mexico looks like.
Very true.
Because you don't even find sagebrush out there. Anyway, let's go to Robert, who's calling from Long Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC. Bobby?
Thank you very much for taking my call. I appreciate it. I think Richard Spencer just got another follower on your last call. What I wanted to say is I knew for a while that there was more crossings. I have better information than the government has. All you got to do is go down to Queens Boulevard. You can get much better, more accurate information in the restaurants. What happens is, see, in order for the guys to come here, say you're from Honduras, you have to pay the coyote a certain amount of money to come here. Now, what happens is once the word, because I asked a guy, the same thing most people were thinking, oh, are people afraid of Donald Trump now? He says, no, even more people are coming because the coyote fees are about to double once they know that the wall is coming, or that they're in anticipation of the wall.
Interesting.
So what they're trying to do now is, it was in the last year, like just as the information is saying, there is a huge rush to come because the coyote fees go from, say, 5,000 to 10,000.
So what you're saying is, with anticipation that there will eventually be a wall, the coyotes are saying, andale, 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 and let's bum rush beyond the border before there's a wall that prevents us from
coming across. Yeah, the clock is ticking. Just real quick.
Maybe a little plausible.
It might be a little rougher than we thought for the Republicans coming up in the midterms because there's some breaking news coming up from the Wall Street Journal. You know, the casino mogul, Steve Wynn.
Yes.
Big, powerful guy.
Oh, he loves the red Chinese.
Lots of accusations apparently against him about sexual harassment, and apparently he had a $7.5 million settlement with a former manicurist at one of his hotels who accused him of trying to force sexual assault.
You know what his defense is going to be?
What?
He's sight impaired. He's going to claim, I didn't know who I was grabbing and who I was abusing.
I don't understand that. Why?
He can barely see. He's like Governor David Patterson.
Well, I guess all he needs is his hands and other parts of his body.
Oh, no,
but by the way,
you
know what else he does.
Yes.
You know what his other title is, not just casino mogul. He's the chairman of the RNC finance.
Oh, yeah. They love Steve Wynn. But he loves the red Chinese. He has a casino. They've allowed him to operate in Macau, which used to be the Portuguese colony that the red Chinese took over. So if it really gets hot, he'll just flee. And the red Chinese who love him will give him sanctuary. And there's no extradition treaty between red China and the United States. 1-800-848-WABC.
Take this job and shove it. I ain't working here no more. A woman done left and took all the reason I was working for. You better not try.
Seven minutes after the hour or two, as we're high atop Madison Square Garden, the great facilities provided to us for this broadcast, in which the hawk is starting to come out of its nesting area.
Mm-hmm.
And according to Bill Evans, the hawk will be talking this weekend.
Oh, really?
As we are on the roller coaster ride. moving back into Arctic airspace.
I thought it was over for some reason. I don't know why I thought that.
But this broadcast is sponsored by NJDye.com, as all our broadcasts are out of the studios here on the 17th floor. But I will tell you this. We started the program with you, my co-hostess today, as you were yesterday, Juliet Huddy, and my girlfriend, Nancy Regula, shaving my beard off, which was the will of our listeners, by about a dozen votes. Thousands of votes had poured in on our social networking.
I would like to officially request a recount.
You can, but guess what? It's going to be 8 weeks, and you'll have to take it to the United States Supreme Court like Bush 43 and Gore in 2000.
I see some chads hanging. I'm a little concerned about the you know, veracity of the process.
Well, but you can look at White House counsel. The present White House counsel is Ty Cobb.
Yep.
He's fully bearded, and he's got the handlebar mustache. He is really old school.
And, and he's not a baseball player.
No. But he is like, he's got the full beard. The object of the story that the New York Times went to print with said that a month after Mueller had been appointed by the Deputy Attorney General to become the special prosecutor to investigate Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. And this is after Sessions recused himself.
Right.
It's interesting because that attorney who was leading the White House counsel at that time was Donald McCann. Clean shaven. Clean shaven like I am now. Donald McCann. And if you believe the New York Times story, the president said, enough is enough. I want this Mueller to go. I'm going to fire Mueller.
Right.
And the White House counsel said, if you fire Mueller, I'm out of here. I'm resigning. You can't do this. Mr. President, there's a precedent here. Watergate.
Yeah.
This is what Nixon tried to do to Archibald Cox, who had been the special prosecutor appointed to investigate Watergate.
This would be catastrophic to your presidency.
Right, but it didn't matter because, you know, by then Nixon was like half in the bag. So on a Saturday night, right, while he's tipsy, he calls up his attorney general at the time, Elliot Richardson, who had served Republican presidents before. And he says, you're going to fire Archibald Cox. Elliot Richardson said, no, I'm not. So Richard Nixon said, you're fired.
How do you know that he was drinking?
Oh, he by then he was drinking heavily. Yeah, this is according to Henry Kissinger.
Well, he probably would be too.
Henry Kissinger, who actually was calling the Pentagon and letting him know, if Richard Nixon calls tonight, anytime after 7 o'clock,
right,
and says, drop the bomb,
don't
listen
do it,
to him.
Don't do it. Wow.
Me. Call me. Please call me.
Call me and then call AA.
Yeah, he is definitely half in the bag.
Wow.
So then Richard Nixon says, okay, Elliot Richardson, you're out. So he calls his deputy attorney general, the equivalent of Rosenstein now. He says, you're going to fire Archibald Cox. He said, no, I'm not. You're fired. And it was called the Saturday Night Massacre. And what had been a steady erosion of the Trump presidency, now it was in rapid descent.
Nixon presidency.
Threatened with impeachment. Barry Goldwater comes over to the West Wing with other known Republicans, and they say, you got to go. We're going to impeach you. We're siding with the Democrats. Sam, not Sam, not, I forget the North Carolina guy who led the investigation. He's like a sleepy guy, but he'll come to me. But anyway, they said, you got to go. And then Nixon saw the handwriting on the wall, so beat the impeachment, got on Helicopter One. And you remember, I am not a crook, and flew off to San Clemente. And Gerald Ford, who was the vice president, assumed the presidency soon after to pardon him. But this is what the White House counsel, Donald McCann, was warning the president. So apparently, he acknowledged that. I said, yeah, okay, I'm going to calm down. I'm really angry at Mueller. But I'm not going to pull the trigger on him. And now, while he's in Switzerland, the New York Times broke the story, and this was the knee-jerk reaction of our president.
What a fire, Robert Mueller.
Fake news, folks. Fake news.
What's your message?
Typical New York Times fake stories.
Well, here's the thing, though. Multiple outlets, including, by the way, Fox News, last night when Sean Hannity was on his show actually saying that this was a big joke. No, making a mockery of the New York Times. Then he had to kind of go mea culpa and say, our Fox News sources are confirming the story as well, which I thought was interesting. And then he went on to immediately switch to a car chase.
Now, do you know why this appears to be true? Is that this information came out of the interviews that Team Mueller and his inquisitors have done with Lieutenant General Flynn, mm-hmm. who copped a plea, recently finished with Jeff Sessions, right. the Attorney General,
right.
and Pompeo, the CIA director. One of these three men, when asked that question, because they already know the answers
right.
when they're asking you, acknowledged, and I think it was probably Jeff Sessions, who would have been close to this situation, that yes, the president was threatening to fire Mueller, and he walked back from the ledge because Donald McGahn, the White House counsel, was going to quit. And it was explained to the president, you don't want a Richard Nixon Watergate situation. You will be impeached.
And
there are Republicans that will side against you on
this.
Oh,
God, yeah. And by the way, this Don McGahn guy, I mean, see, he's got some cojones there. I mean, to say, look, you know, and not only is he loyal to the president, saying, look, this will absolutely be a catastrophe to your presidency. But then he also says, fire me. I'm not going to do it. I mean, that's pretty risky. And obviously he has Trump's ear, as does Ty Cobb, who's been a power player, by the way, in D.C. for many, many years and knows Robert Mueller very well. Clearly Donald Trump, despite what a lot on the left say, he is capable of taking sage advice.
Well, in this case, luckily he did for our country and our presidency, because I got to tell you, the likes of Lindsey Graham and some of the other Republicans who have been, sometimes they're friendly towards Trump, other times they're adversaries, they would have joined the Democrats. There would have been an impeachment proceeding, obstruction of justice.
Do you think this is a big deal? Because there
are
folks that I was watching on TV last night. Once again, it was Fox News, but they were saying, Fox and Friends this morning was saying their anchors were actually going, I mean, you know, is it really a big deal? Do we really care? Do you care?
Yes. The fact that he would even consider doing this with no documentary evidence that Mueller had done anything wrong. I mean, he had just been appointed because the president fired Comey.
Right.
He fires Comey. Sessions says, I can't get involved. I've got to recuse myself because I can't remember meeting with Kislyak, the Russian ambassador. And then Rosenstein, who the president appointed to become the deputy attorney general, appoints Mueller, who a day before had been interviewed by Donald Trump to become the new FBI chief. So do you go from potentially again being the FBI chief to now being an untrustable source?
You know what it is? Donald Trump for 50 years has been running a company, and he's been able to say you're fired to whoever he wants to without any question or any sort of culpability there. Yes. It's his business. And so he's used to doing this. Just because you can say what you want and your supporters will go along with it doesn't mean that you can start, actually engaging and executing these rash movements.
If somehow Donald McCain, the then White House counsel, had not been able to convince the president not to trigger off his famous statement made over the years on The Apprentice.
You're fired.
Could I hear that again?
You're fired.
He would have been impaired. It would be like impaling himself. It would be political suicide.
Well,
for
not according to the anchors at Fox and Friends. They don't think that their viewers and the Donald Trump's supporters would care about this.
Well, let's find out from our many listeners if you think this is big stuff or you think it's made up fake news by the New York Times. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. Now, remember, everybody leaks in Washington. It's like a sieve.
Yes.
The president is the leaker in chief. His staff leaks. All the Democrats and Republicans leak. They put their own spin out. Mueller team leaks.
Can
they
you
all
say
leak.
The president leaks? He just basically goes out and says it. I mean, I don't think he even has any. He doesn't even hold himself back.
He does what I do.
Blows it out there.
You go into the little boy's room. You take a leak. I mean, it happens from time to time. He's got normal movement of his urinary glands. But the point is, they all leak. And to suddenly describe this as fake news.
I'm so sick of the fake news thing, I got to tell you, because come on, people. I mean,
I mean,
you can't.
The president has people who knows he was going to do that who are in the West Wing. These are not Democrats.
Stop talking about the unnamed sources because the unnamed sources are being used by
the unnamed sources.
Fox News
testified to this.
It's not fake news just because the media is reporting it and you don't like to hear it.
Let's go, if we can, to...
Give any Valium.
Kevin, who is calling from Manhattan. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here at WABC, Kevin.
How you doing, Curtis? Hey, you're a little wrong on it. They both resigned. Mm.
You mean Elliot Richardson and the Deputy Attorney General.
Yeah, and it was Bork. It was who later on
Bork.
Came with... the one who had to take the who fired Cox.
That's right.
Hey, you.
That's
are you a professor? You.
No. And one more thing. Yes. Sam Irvin was the senator from North Carolina.
That's right. Not I was saying Sam Nunn in my head from Georgia. You're absolutely
Georgia,
right.
Yeah.
You're absolutely
nice, Kevin.
But Kevin.
Yes.
Do you remember? That was it.
Yeah.
Nixon could not recover after that.
No, you're right. Absolutely correct.
And so you can imagine Trump knows that because he grew up in that time.
Oh, yes.
And you would think he would follow in the footsteps of a president at that time, Nixon, who was out of control and was impaling his own presidency.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
But even in Trump's mind, he doesn't feel, I mean, he feels he's Teflon Don, and many of his supporters feel that way as well.
Again, somebody needs to explain to him, this is not a deposition, because remember, he's been caught lying in depositions before and has settled, that in fact, you go into the snake den, and it is a snake den with U.S. attorneys. They have all the answers. They've gotten it from the guys that they already interviewed and that they gave a cooperation deal with.
It's basically a trap is what it is.
Yeah. And so imagine you
said
fake news, lies. Sessions probably gave you up on this because he wasn't going to lie for you. Let's go to Larry in Staten Island. Welcome to Curtis and Juliet Huddy here on WABC. Larry.
Hi, Curtis, Juliet. Curtis, you sound very well now. I'm glad you got better.
Thank you.
Should see him. He looks great.
Yeah. My comment is this. With respect to the Mueller position, whether Donald Trump says it or not, I don't know. But I understand, I believe, it could be Cory Booker and several senators want to introduce a bill to prevent Mueller from being fired. Now, Donald Trump is the executive of the country. That position of Mueller's is an executive position. He can hire and fire who he pleases.
Yeah, but remember, it wasn't even Booker who suggested that first. It was Lindsey Graham, Republican senator of South Carolina, who said, don't even think of firing Mueller. And then he proposed that legislation along with Democrats. It never went anywhere. And yes, Larry, he can fire Mueller. He can fire all of his aides.
But it's the optics. But the optics are important.
How do you think the country would respond to that, Larry?
Well, at this point in time, the way all the focus and attention on this, it wouldn't look good. And as far as Donald Trump, people have suggested he take the Fifth. Now, anybody can take the Fifth Amendment. But you know, and I know, Curtis, when people take the Fifth, they're hiding something. There's that inference. Something's being hidden.
That's what we were talking about yesterday.
Yeah, right. In fact, Larry, you know that. You're a former police officer. But apparently the guy who follows us, fellow New Yorker like you are, like I am, we've seen a lot of famous individuals, for instance, like Mario Biaggi, when he was a congressman. Remember, he was on his way to becoming mayor, Larry, took the Fifth Amendment 55 times, and that was it. His ability to become mayor was dead on arrival. But we have Michael Savage, who claims to be an expert on everything, pretentious a-hole that he is. Listen to what he said the other day, Larry.
I would say this, Mr. President. You're not obligated to put your neck in a noose. You're not obligated to stand with your head in a guillotine. You know they're out to destroy you. You have a protection. It's called the Fifth Amendment. Hillary's people did it over and over again. You get up there and you smile and you say, the Fifth Amendment protects both the innocent and the guilty. I am 100% innocent, and I hereby refuse to testify on the grounds that I may incriminate myself, and keep saying that.
See, I agree with him. I agree, because I'm telling
keep
you.
Keep saying that.
I agree with him. I think he's absolutely right, because I think Trump supporters are so voracious.
Mueller will ask to his inquisitors maybe 120 questions. Mm-hmm. So you're suggesting that the president should take the Fifth 120 times. It'll be in all the papers the very next day.
I am telling you.
And you don't think that will signal that he is guilty of sin?
I think to me it would signal that he's guilty of sin, but to a lot of our listeners, no, it will not.
Well,
I'm telling you, Curtis, no, it will not.
Let's find out from our listeners. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222. I light the Shabbos candle tonight while stirring the Empire Kosher chicken.
Oh, that sounds delicious. Curtis, what are you
hoping that our president does not listen to Michael Savage because
or
he
me?
Is a stoner.
Hey, what else can we do now except run out the window and let the wind
can I start talking now, Justin? Can you turn this swill down? I'm not a big Springsteen fan, but it does kind of lend itself to this next topic.
Thank God, because I hate Farmer Bruce, who writes off his property taxes because he claims he's growing crops.
I know. Lots of New Jerseyans do down there in the Rumson area. It's a little scandal.
Is that homegrown stuff that he does, you know, hydroponics?
No, I think it's like, you know, winery type stuff. Like vines, yeah. Grapes. No, that's actually a very, very common thing. Even like a garden.
It's a ripoff.
It's kind of a bunch of, you know,
screws
what.
Screws the taxpayers. You know, friend of the working class man, Bruce, who lives in 1% Rumson.
I have often said I lived in Hoboken for many, many years, and I'm a huge Hoboken fan, and I love New Jersey. I do love the Rumson area. Red Bank, going to be down there next week.
By the way, is there another water main break in downtown Hoboken?
There hasn't been
like
one in
one
a while,
week?
I don't think, Curtis.
Okay.
So why don't you just back up, Jack?
Okay.
So here's the thing, though. The one massive negative about New Jersey is that when you're driving on the freeways or even just the regular, you know, main artery street of your local town, the signage is so piss poor that people are constantly confused. They don't know what's going on. Those traffic circles, the jug handles that Justin loves so much, it's all very confusing. So you naturally see people completely bewildered. They're, you know, merging into other lanes. They've completely lost themselves. That's why people from New Jersey say that New Jerseyans can't drive. But that's actually a fallacy. It's because of the terrible signage and the way it's all laid out there. But there is a study that just came out.
What did the conclusion of this study?
Well, New Jersey is not a very good state to drive in, nor is New York. But if you have to compare the two, New Jersey actually gets the biggest thumbs down for for places to drive.
Do they give a reason?
Well, there are many reasons. Shall I tell you?
Sure.
Let me
profess to you what I believe. First of all, they have these stupid jug handles where you turn right in order to eventually go left. And then they have the roundabouts, which I equate to being like crop circles in the middle of nowhere where all of a sudden you're going round and round and round. And it's like you're ready to crash into other cars that are incoming.
Yeah, people have a hard time merging onto a highway, period. But when you give them several different merging situations in one little roundabout, it blows people's minds. They can't handle it. They start to lose their.
I think that's what contributes to what this survey's conclusion is that New Jersey drivers are more erratic. It's less safe driving with New Jersey drivers than it would be with New York drivers.
Well, no, here's the thing. This, surprisingly enough, this was a survey done by Wallet.com, and it actually broke it down the 50 states and how bad and how good things are in driving. New Jersey actually comes in the lowest out of New York and New Jersey. It comes in at 42, number 42. So 50th is the worst, and that would be Hawaii. Randomly, Hawaii is the worst place to drive.
Yeah, that's because they're always pulling off the road because they're having to hit the bomb shelter thinking that the evil seed of Kim Jong, mentally ill, has launched a nuclear payload in their direction.
Well, they broke it down. Actually, New York is right there, too. New Jersey was 42 on the list of the top 50. New York was 41.
What's the best one?
I want you to guess.
Delaware, because you blink your eyes and you're through Delaware?
No. Delaware, I don't even see in the top 25. Texas.
Get out of here.
I mean, does it have anything to do with the fact that the presidents have been from Texas
over the last years?
I mean,
I've driven through Texas, even though I didn't have a license, and tried to avoid Johnny Law and the Colt Ford cars that they have, little speed cars,
yeah,
that aren't, there's no signage on it.
And all of a sudden, you got cattle coming out into the middle of the street there. And you got to wait for all the cattle to get through. Yeah, so, I mean, how is...
That's not really what they're breaking things down with here.
They hit cattle, hit deer.
They take things in like rush
crazy
hour.
Crazy Texans are taking shots at you because they see a New York or a New Jersey license plate.
I can actually see that happening. They look at things like rush hour, traffic congestion, precipitation, which obviously can affect the road.
Have you ever driven in Houston? It's like driving in L.A. You drive maybe 5 hours and you go 5 miles.
Well, here's some good news for our area. As far as lowest car theft rates, New York comes in there. It was number four, the fourth lowest car theft rate, which I think is kind of surprising.
What's the number one car theft rate?
Highest car theft rate, Alaska. Alaska.
Get out of here.
I'll not get out of here. I have to finish this show. I've got 15 minutes left.
I could see them hijacking, you know, these little Eskimo dogs.
All right.
But the top place... for car thefts is
how about
Alaska?
This? How about most auto repair shops per capita? You think we come in there anywhere?
Oh, yeah. Fender benders, I would say Illinois.
Auto repair shops. Illinois is number four. Guess who's number three?
Who?
New York.
Oh, and two and one?
Pennsylvania is number two. Okay. California has the most auto repair shops per capita.
I accept that.
Also, very good news for New Jerseyans when it comes to car washes. We're number five when it comes to car washes. California, once again, being number one.
Because you're out in the sun all day long. It's like, not only that, but every one of those car washes illegally have illegal aliens there who they basically make work 12 hours a day, 6 days a week, washing cars.
They do have some darn good car washes out there. I go the red carpet car wash, Manhattan Beach, fabulous. Number two was Texas, and then Florida, Illinois, and then New Jersey.
What about when you go, because of a fender bender, you go to get your car painted? There used to be Earl Scheib, 1995 in California. Mm-hmm. Now it costs you like $200 to get just the basic, no frills paint job.
I don't know. I don't get paint jobs, so I'm not really sure about that. But would you like to hear the depressing news for our area?
Yes.
The highest percentage of rush hour traffic congestion.
Staten Island. Staten Island Expressway.
New Jersey. We come in there in New Jersey. Delaware actually has the highest number, believe it or not, of traffic congestion.
Yeah, you blink, and all of a sudden you've passed from Pennsylvania into Maryland.
I don't know why that would be. Delaware followed by Rhode Island, New Jersey, Maryland,
same thing,
and California.
Rhode Island. You go from Connecticut to Massachusetts, you blink, you're through Rhode Island.
I'm actually surprised because in California, I lived about 32 miles from my job, and it took me an hour and 45 minutes.
I-5
is
stuck
horrific.
Forever.
Oh, God.
Just to get from L.A., downtown L.A., let's say to Santa Ana, Orange County.
Yeah.
Taking a month of Sundays.
Yeah. Well, okay, here's the thing. You know that obviously when you're driving around New York,
yes.
specifically in New York City, the potholes are just, it's a joke.
Yes.
An absolute joke. Same thing with Hoboken, I frankly have to say. But New Jersey didn't come in on the list as far as highest auto maintenance costs. New Jersey did, number five. I mean, New York, rather, number five.
Yeah, that's because, especially with Shamu. El Jefe, Chris Christie, all 8 years that he was a burden on the taxpayers of New Jersey, he did no road repairs whatsoever, as you remember.
No, but here's the funny thing, Curtis. Every time that I drive into Hoboken and I'm on Washington Street, they are once again repaving the road. Every single time, once again, grabbing it, you know, the things are then, they're picking it all up and, you know, mushing it all up, and they're repaving it again. It's been under construction
for years. They're scraping the asphalt off.
Yes.
And then they're putting new asphalt on because they have to have make work.
Yes.
Because they're gold bricks and slackers. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222.
When you stack up different flavors of Pringles, you create amazing new flavors. Stack up cheddar cheese, jalapeno, and French onion dip Pringles, and you've got yourself the three-layer dip snack. 77 WABC. For straight talk about cosmetic surgery, tune in to What's Your Wrinkle with Dr. Arthur Perry. This and every Saturday at 6 p.m.
You know, while you gals were shaving me earlier today, and if you want to see the shave, because a majority of our listeners here at WABC, and the slightest majority by 12 votes, voted that I shaved the beard off.
Recount.
Since I had the operation back on December 13th to remove my chronic Crohn's disease. There was the lovely Nancy Regula, my girlfriend.
I love her.
And naturally you, Juliet Huddy. And it was not a mistake. It was one of the smartest things I did because I was developing jock itch right on my chin. But some of the dumbest things that I've done, well, obviously all my marriages. Oh, oof.
I hear you.
But maybe the all-time dumbest thing is when I only went for one opinion when I was diagnosed with prostate cancer stage 4 and had robotic surgery. They took out a gland that controls almost everything that a man does in his life and afterwards became incontinent, impotent, wearing Depends diapers. And I said to the surgeon, hey, why don't you let me know this in advance? He said, well, you know, you'll be okay. And then that, all of a sudden they do a blood test. And I said, why are you doing a blood test? I thought I got rid of the cancer. Well, you never know. We got to do a PSA test. Ooh, a double oofa. Look, whether it's prostate cancer or 80 different forms of body cancer, don't be a stunad that I was. You got to go to Dr. Gil Lederman because he's not part of the old boys network. You scratch my belly, I scratch yours. He does not believe in surgery, 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 or chemotherapy. He was the first to bring non-invasive stereotactic body surgery to America a month or Sundays ago. And it's the very form that Jimmy Carter, our former president, used to get rid of his brain cancer. And it enabled him to attend Donald Trump's inauguration just a year ago. Never went to the hospital. Went to a clinic three times for treatment. Look, go to Dr. Lederman. You, someone you know, somebody you know, someone you love, somebody you work with. Especially if the cancer that you thought was in remission comes raging back. Call him at 212-CHOICES. That's 212-CHOICES. His office hours are at 38th and Broadway. Dr. Gil Lederman takes most insurances, Medicare and Medicaid. Call 212-CHOICES.